This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Many years ago when I was a child, I recall that on one occasion my father and I went out to the woods near my grandfather's farm to look for wild mushrooms. Now, of course, my father explained to me that you had to know what you were doing because some mushrooms were poisonous. These poisonous mushrooms could kill you if you ate them. Therefore, my father made sure that I knew the difference between a safe mushroom and one that could kill you. He told me the truth about mushrooms because he loved me. With that in mind, allow me to describe for you two different scenarios. First, what would you think if a father and a son went out to pick wild mushrooms, and after the father carefully warned his son about the danger of poisonous mushrooms, the son rebelled and foolishly and deliberately picked wild mushrooms, and then later ate them even though he knows that they're poisonous? Well, of course, soon after he eats the poison mushrooms, he becomes very deathly ill. And then the father looks at his son with an angry and stern look on his face, and he says, "How foolish of you to eat the poison mushrooms I told you not to eat. Now you will probably die, and that's exactly what you deserve. Serves you right for disobeying me. I hope your death is slow and painful." So what would you think of such a father? Well, even though the father told the truth about how foolish it is to eat poisonous mushrooms, his warning was a bit short on love. In fact, the truth that he spoke was totally without compassion. This father didn't even try to save his son. Sadly, the father spoke the truth only to condemn his son. But now allow me to describe one other scenario. Imagine a father and a son going out to pick mushrooms, and while they're walking together, the father stops and embraces his son, and then he looks him in the eyes and he says to him, "Son, I want you to know how much I love you. Therefore, whatever you choose to do in life is fine with me. I'll never criticize any choice that you make, nor will I ever condemn anything that you want to do, because I love you. So, son, I want you to pick any mushrooms you like. And I don't really care what mushrooms you pick. As long as you think they're good, that's fine with me. You see, son, I want you to be happy. And therefore, I will respect your choices of any mushrooms because I love you." So what would you think of that father? Well, he sounds very loving and compassionate, doesn't he? He seems to care about his son. But this father is a bit short on the truth. You see, not all mushrooms are good. Some could kill his son. But this father foolishly thinks that condemning his son's wrong choice of mushroom would not be loving. But not only does this father not understand the importance of truth, he doesn't understand what love really is either. In our second reading from Ephesians, the Apostle Paul writes, "Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ." I would now like to take some time to explain the context of these words, and then I will apply them to our lives today. First, you need to know that the Apostle Paul was writing originally to Christians who lived in a city called Ephesus. Now, back then, Ephesus was not a Christian town. There were no Christians there. People worshipped false gods. They lived very immoral lives, doing things that God's word clearly condemns. And they had many worldly, ungodly ideas and philosophies going around in their heads. But you know what? God saved some of these people in Ephesus. He saved them through the preaching and teaching of the Apostle Paul. In fact, Paul comments on this in Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to what he says. He says, "You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Now, Paul loved these Christians in Ephesus. That's why he writes to them about God's word of truth. You see, Paul was used to speaking the truth in love to them. Now, that fact reminds me of what we heard in our first reading from Psalm 40. The author of Psalm 40 also loved God's people, and so he spoke God's truth to them. Let me read Psalm 40, verse 10 again. Listen. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Now, Paul understood this kind of love. In fact, in chapter 4, Paul tells the Ephesians to be one in spirit. But how are they to be one in spirit? Well, Paul says that there's only one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one way of salvation, and that's the way God has given us. You see, we need to realize that the devil will use false teaching and evil lies to divide the body of Christ. But God makes us one. How? By moving us to believe the same thing based on an agreeing with God's truth as revealed to us in Holy Scripture. Paul then goes on to say that God has given gifts to his people. What are these gifts? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I'm in that group, pastors and teachers. Why did God give me to you? To feed you, to nurture you, to serve you with God's gifts. You see, my job as a pastor teacher is to speak God's truth and love to you and thereby build you up so that you will be able to build up others and become spiritually mature yourself. And one aspect of spiritual maturity is that you're able to discern truth from error and sin from God's will. That's why Paul makes this point. Listen to what he says. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. You see, once God saves us, we need to continue to grow and mature in his word, or it could happen that we are led astray by the lies of the evil one. As I visited with Amanda and Jared recently, I talked about the importance of raising children in the word of God after they're baptized. Even though God reaches out to us in baptism and brings us salvation, that faith he gives us in baptism can grow weak and die if it's not nurtured. Just like we would get physically ill and maybe die if we didn't eat for a month, we can't go out, we can't do without Jesus and his word either and expect to be remaining spiritually strong. We need to be hearing God's truth spoken in love if we want to be spiritually mature and close to Jesus and able to help others grow in their faith. So what we're learning is that Paul wants us to be spiritually mature rather than being spiritual infants who are easily misled by seductive lies that are disguised as truth. Paul doesn't want us to be like a rudderless ship on a stormy sea, pulled here and there by every evil opinion and foolish notion that blows our way. You see, the Ephesian Christians lived in a culture full of false gods, full of sinful ideas and behaviors, full of the lies of the devil. Does that sound familiar? That describes our culture today, doesn't it? All we have to do is look around America, even right here in Jamestown, we can find false religions, false gods, evil ideas and behaviors clearly condemned by God's word, and yet people affirm them. Just yesterday, my wife and I were attending the Hemcoast Festival in Fargo, where a bunch of Scandinavians were around celebrating their Scandinavian-ness. It was a good time, although I didn't eat any lutefisk. I tried a sample, I couldn't stomach it. But It was a great time, but I remember listening to this one storyteller telling about old Norwegian myths, and it was enjoyable just as a historical thing and hearing her sing. But I got really concerned when I started hearing her making comments negative about Christianity and positive about the pagan false gods that people used to worship in Norway. Later I found out that this woman, who actually had grown up in the Lutheran church, now was involved in the occult, worshiping various false gods and goddesses, and divining them with various spiritual relics. She had totally abandoned the Christian faith. How did that happen? It happens when people are not fed by Christ and then are led astray and deceived by the evil one. That's why Paul says what he does to the Ephesians. That's why God uses the same word of Paul to say the same thing to us today. Because God doesn't want us to be tossed back and forth and led astray. He wants us to be close to Him and His salvation and be spiritually mature, that we might be strong in our own faith and also equipped to share the good news with others. Now, having said all of that, we're ready now to see how this text applies to our lives today. And the first thing we need to do is humble ourselves and repent and realize that we all, including me, sometimes fail to speak the truth in love. And we do this by falling into one of two evil extremes. One evil extreme is that we know the truth ourselves, but we could care less whether other people know about God's truth. That's not love, my friends. Or maybe we do speak the truth to others, but we speak it without love and compassion. We speak the truth merely to condemn people. But when we do this, we're not acting in love. You see, if we point out somebody's sin, but then we fail to tell them about Jesus and the healing and mercy and love He can give them, if we fail to mention Jesus, then we're not speaking the truth in love. However, there's another evil extreme that we have to avoid, and it's far more common today. Let me give you an example. Raise your hand if you heard of the 1960s rock group The Beatles. I don't think there's anybody here who hasn't. They had many hit songs, but one of their hit songs was "All You Need Is Love." All you need is love. Really? What about truth? Don't we need truth as well? You know, I'm afraid we live in a culture that has replaced the truth of God's word with personal opinion. And the supposedly loving thing to do nowadays is to never question anybody's opinion. But you know, that evil philosophy, the idea that there is no truth and it's only personal opinion, that's known as relativism. And this evil philosophy of relativism has tempted even Christians to replace the truth of God's word with the following philosophy. If it feels good and it's right in your eyes, do it. In our culture today, there are many beliefs and behaviors clearly condemned by God's word, and yet we find people, even Christians, affirming these evil beliefs and behaviors all in the name of being loving. But my friends, if we allow people to consume the poisonous mushrooms of sin without giving a word of warning, then we're not loving them at all. So my friends, God would have us avoid those two evil extremes. On the one hand, He doesn't want us to speak the truth without love, but on the other hand, He doesn't want us to pretend that we're loving while we keep the truth from other people. Instead, God would have us speak the truth in love to one another. Now, at this point, you might be thinking of people in your lives, family members, friends, acquaintances, and they need to hear the truth about some false belief or some sinful behavior in their lives. How do we approach them? You know, it's easier said than done. Well, first of all, you have to ask yourself, do I have a trusting relationship with them? And if you do have a close relationship with them, then ask them lovingly if you could talk with them about a concern you have in their lives. Let them know up front that you're a sinner just like they are. You're in need of Jesus just like they are, but it seems like maybe they're not as aware of that as they should be. Lovingly share with them the truth of God's Word, making clear that it's not your opinion you're sharing with them, but the truth of their God and Savior. Tell them the truth of God's Word in a loving way. Show them how it applies to their lives. But what if you don't have a close relationship with these people? What if your relationship has deteriorated? Well, at the very least, you can pray for them. You can pray that God will use others to witness to them. Or you can try to reconcile and rebuild your relationship and then pray that God will give you an opportunity to share His truth in love with them. But what happens if you actually get the opportunity? What happens if you start to speak the truth in love and they cut you off and don't want to hear what you have to say? Or what happens if you do speak your peace and share the truth and after they hear what you say, they reject the truth that you have lovingly shared with them? Well, in such cases, all you can do is pray for them and continue to love them with the understanding that loving them does not mean that you condone their false beliefs or their sinful behaviors. In closing, I have a couple points I want to make. First, you need to know that you are forgiven, I am forgiven, we're all forgiven for failing to speak the truth in love. You know, when I examine my own life, my years before I was a pastor, my 17 years as a pastor, I hang my head in shame. There were times I was silent when I should have said something. There were other times I said something, but I could have said it with more love and compassion. I'm guilty, and so are you. But the good news, the ultimate truth I have to share with you today, is that through Jesus, we are forgiven. You see, the ultimate truth is that Jesus loved you so much that He went to the cross and suffered the damnation that should have been ours. In fact, in our gospel reading, we heard about the Word becoming flesh. What's that all about? Well, the Word is one of John's names for Jesus, the eternal Son of God. And why did He become flesh? Why did He become human? Well, not only did God want to be close to us, but even more, God became human so that He could be whipped and beaten and nailed to the cross in our place of damnation. As horrible as that picture is, that's our hope this morning. Because of that sacrifice, we are forgiven. Because of that sacrifice, we know how much God loves us. No wonder the devil doesn't want us to know the truth. He doesn't want us to know how much God loves us. The devil wants us to cut ourselves off from everything God wants to say to us and deprive us of all His gifts. But God speaks His truth and love to you today so that you can know how much He loves you and how much He wants you here so that you can be fed and nurtured by me, a gift God has given you to teach you and nurture you in God's Word so that you can become spiritually mature, be strong in your faith yourself, and also equipped to serve others in love. My next point is this. The same God who forgives your sins, the same God who loves you dearly, this same God will help you to speak His truth in love to others. The same God who convicts us of sin and comforts us with His words of mercy, this same God will give us the ability and the opportunities to speak His truth in love to others so that they too can repent and come to Jesus for forgiveness and healing and love. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18, listen to what it says. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Now, some people wrongly think that that verse means that to love others means that you just ignore what's going on in their lives. No, that's not what it means. What does it mean to cover over a multitude of sins? It means that by witnessing to people and leading them to Jesus, their sins are covered through faith in Jesus' shed blood that cleanses us from all sin and reunites us with God. For example, listen to this passage at the end of James chapter 5. Listen closely. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. When we speak the truth in love and lead people to Jesus, their sins are covered over and forgotten by God. My friends, we live in a culture that knows little or nothing about truth or love. Centuries ago, Christians influenced the culture. But now, sadly, the culture is influencing Christians. We have to turn that trend around. And the way it turns around is starting with each and every one of you individually, realizing how much you need Jesus and how much you need to be here being fed and nurtured by His Word and being built up to the teaching and preaching of your pastor whom God has given you. My friends, your God and Savior loves you. That's why He has shared His truth with you today. And through faith in Christ, you are His dearly loved children. And the truth of God's love for you in Christ has set you free to live as His children. And living as His children includes speaking the truth in love when God gives you the opportunity. And the best way you can be prepared to do that is by continuing to hear and study God's Word. Not only will God use the preaching and teaching of His Word in this place to comfort you and to help you mature in your faith, but in addition, God will use the preaching and teaching of His Word in this place to equip you so that you will be ready to speak the truth in love when God gives you the opportunity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.